So let's start the recording and start the call, please.
Sure, certainly. Let's please start the call recording. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's Urolo Bylaw Task Force call, taking place on Monday, 18th of April 2016 at 1700 UTC. On today's call, we have Olivia Crepon-Gadon, Michael Medrish, Oksana Prikotko, Matthew Camus. We have apologies from Christopher Wilkinson and Walt Ludwig. On staff, we have Sylvia Vivanko and myself, Yashin Nazmar. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone to state their names while speaking for the transcript purposes. And over to you, Olivia. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yashim. It's Olivier Capanablon speaking. Have we missed anybody in the roll call? Is anybody on the online without being on the Adobe Connect? Nobody. Okay, so welcome everyone to this first call of this task force that is a Urolo task force looking at the Urolo bylaws and looking at whether the bylaws need to be updated and how. What are the discrepancies, etc. We have on the call Michael Medrish, who has been spending a lot of time focusing on these things. So we'll be looking at first the process quickly, and then we'll spend most of the time on this call already looking at the suggestions made by Michael, and I'll ask Michael to take us through each one of the points in turn and then open a discussion afterwards. I do not think that, I mean, with the number of things that are on this call, the number of points that Michael has made, we might not be able to finish the whole list on the call now, but it doesn't matter. This is not just a one-shot that we have. If we don't finish on this week, we can continue on another call next week. In any case, the work that we're doing here will be going in preparation to then providing Urolo as a whole with a set of recommendations, and then the Urolo would be, from this point onwards, choosing then whether he wants to move forward with the suggestions for the bylaw amendments. So it's not a process that will finish in a month. It's something that might take several months, but it's good that we are starting it. And so the first thing I wanted to ask is whether the agenda as it currently is, so looking at the quick process and then looking at the bylaws in turn, is the right way to move forward. So the floor is open for comments and as far as the agenda is concerned. Anything else to add to the agenda today? Don't see anyone putting their hand up, so the agenda is approved as it is on your screen at the moment. Let's turn to agenda item number two, which is looking at the actual process by which this work will take place here. So the first task is to map out the differences between the bylaws as they are drafted and how Urolo actually works. But that is what we're working on at the moment. After that, the task force will revert back to the Urolo at-large structures with the full details of their results, maybe with, a summary of their results. I don't expect the Urolo ELSs to dig deeply into this discussion. But then we would need to look at it says here, in order not to reinvent the wheel, many information sources will need to be accessible on the task force pages, which is what we now have, building the reference documents, etc. And finally, defining what the Urolo wants to do and check it. To do so, there is or is not a need that part of the bylaws should be revised. So we would need to effectively then ask Urolo, depending on what Urolo needs to suggestions we make, we need to ask Urolo which way they want to move forward. And then afterwards, we'll have to come back and consult with our members about such selected or proposed paths and reasons. And finally, members should review these proposals and reasons and decide on the scope for further reviews. Is this clear? I'm just thinking this probably would need to be slightly amended or changed. for legibility at the moment. I have a couple of sentences that I am having trouble with. But anyway, that's the main task that we have, the process. Are there any questions or comments on the process itself? And I note that Wolf Ludwig has arrived, so welcome, Wolf. And I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so that first part is okay then. Then let's now look at the suggestions made by Michael. So on the agenda, you have a link to the Uralo bylaws themselves. These, I believe, are the ones which are currently in use. They are articles of incorporations that were built in 2007, and then they were amended in May 2011. But and I believe that the only thing that was, I don't even know what was the event, the amendment. I believe that, yes, okay, so the amendment was the possible addition of individual members to Uralo. I believe that was probably one of the amendments, but since we have Wolf on here, maybe he would be able to let us know, or let's first, I see that first Michael has put his hand up. So, Michael Medrish, you have the floor.
I would like to clarify the situation with the decision on Belgrade, or absence of decision. I've taken two texts and the same wording, the same commas, the same stops, no changes, absolutely. So, and I've read minutes, no votings about this. So I suppose it's a kind of mistake about adoption in Belgrade. It was not fulfilled. The board and the General Assembly discussed the points not about association of your individual users association, but about other points also, but no decision, no decision. That's why I suppose we can fix the situation. We have Article of Association from the year 2007, and that's all. Because no any changes. Hello.
Okay, sorry, and I was muted. Thanks for reminding me. Thanks, Michael. It's Olivier speaking. So I hear what you're saying regarding that there were no changes at all, and of course I'm not disputing this fact that you've tested out the two versions. I'm just very surprised, because why would one be putting changed on the 24th of May if they weren't changed on the 24th of May? That's a bit of an interesting one. I don't know what the Belgrade point was. So, Wolf, Michael mentioned that he has looked at the Belgrade General Assembly, and there was no discussion about the bylaws. The Belgrade General Assembly took place 2 days after that, or 2 or 3 days after the 24th of May. And I think I recall that at the time we did not discuss the bylaws at the General Assembly on purpose, because we managed to have the whatever amended bylaws before that ratified prior to meeting face-to-face in Belgrade. The question then comes as to why the current bylaws that we have, the Articles of Association that we have on the screen now, are no different from the original ones which were adopted in 2011. And now I note that there is another set here. There's another one that's on the screen. Okay. So, yes, so the votation for this was before the amendments of the bylaws. Okay. And so the question then comes as to whether the Articles of Association which are on the screen now are the same as the ones which are provided on the wiki page.
Yes, it is, I suppose.
Okay, hello, yes, sorry. Who is this?
I'm on the call now.
Ah, okay, excellent. Thank you, Wolf. Welcome. And I realize you're probably on a train or something, but...
No, I'm just back from Bern, and I just arrived at home, and I'm now on Adobe Connect, and I just received my dial-out.
Fantastic. So welcome, and congratulations on the excellent timing. We have a article of in association PDF on the screen at the moment. We have a link to the articles of association, which is on a wiki. And Michael tells us that there's no difference between the ones that were adopted in April 2007 and the ones adopted in May 2011.
That's not that's not possible because then it's probably a problem of lacking updates. But it was very clear our original bylaws from 2006-2007 did not allow participation of individuals with a voting right. So individuals at the beginning could participate as they wanted, free floating, but they had at general assemblies, etc., no say because they were not organized, and in the original version there was no chance for them to have a vote. And when we in 2008-2009 realized that individuals were unsatisfied with the situation, then we decided, okay, then we have to modify the bylaws, we have to amend them in a way to allow them a voting right. And that was a whole business in 2009-2010. We discussed this issue for a year. And then we organized a consultation with the members because there were two options offered how the individuals could be organized. And then it was option B, which was suggested by a majority of the members, and the option B to get them included was the case they can create their own ALS. The individual's ALS will not be based in one particular country, but it's a European-wide ALS, and all individuals have from Europe have the right to organize there, and then they can create their bylaws. They can apply for like a regular ALS, getting certified. And then they will have as an ALS one vote like other ALSs. This was the outline at the time, and that's what the bylaws amendment and the voting was about. And this voting was before the Belgrade General Assembly, and more or less on this basis we could continue then to organize the individuals, and I do not see here the problem now. We had a regular non-face-to-face General Assembly in Belgrade, and the bylaw amendment was passed at the time. So far to the history.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf.
I see the question, Wolf, in which way I was elected as a juror in Belgrade. As we did, we had, let me put it this way, we had online votations for the first leadership in 2007, including elections for the board, in 2007. We had a face-to-face General Assembly in Paris, But the terms for leadership and board members were always 2 years. Therefore, we had no elections in Paris. The subsequent year, in March 2009, we had elections at a face-to-face General Assembly in Mexico City. This was in line with Atlas I, where all members were invited, and we had a face-to-face meeting with voting on spot. And then after 2009, we did not know when we will have our next face-to-face General Assembly again. And then it was discussed and it was decided that if we have not a face-to-face meeting, like for example in 2011, when the next votations will be due, we will organize, we will ask for nominations in advance. We do some preliminary voting during the General Assembly from those people who are present or may remotely participate. But the voting during the General Assembly, as we did not have the majority of the members present, was due to be reconfirmed after the General Assembly by the list. This means the result was a preliminary one. It was posted on the list, and it was always said, if there are no objections by members against the procedure and the voting result, this voting from the General Assembly, which was not a face-to-face, will be approved. So it was a formalization of a decision taken afterwards. And it was
okay, Wolf, thank you.
A great procedure at the time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I don't want to go into the election in detail because that's actually in the minutes, which I have referenced on the chat. So Oksana can read all this and how she was elected and who voted for and who else was running in there. It's all listed there. Let's see. Oksana Pechotka, you have the floor. And I'm afraid we can't hear you at the moment. Ah, can we hear you? Hello?
Thank you, Olivier. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Olivier, it was you who engaged me to participate in your ALOC activities. I'm really thank you for all this encouragement. But now, I face a lot of judicial problems. I signed documents which are not legal in Ukraine. And huge problem for me just now. Have I to quit participation in Euralo, or can I ask you to do something to bring it in accordance with bylaws and any judicial documents? This is my question just now.
Yeah, thanks very much, Oksana. It's Olivia speaking. I think this is what we're working on at the moment. But you're asking a question about how you were elected in Belgrade, and that's in the minutes. That is the Belgrade
sorry,
minutes.
Olivia, sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Oksana.
Do you hear me?
Yes,
it's
we hear you.
It's not about my election. It's about my participation in international organization, or not international organization, because now in Russian language we have this discussion. Is it an international organization or it's not international organization? How we can participate in it? It's extremely important question, for political question, and other questions for us. Really?
Okay, I think we're digressing right now. We're looking at the Euralo bylaws and articles of association. That's the first thing. Second thing, you're mentioning international organization. We are not an international organization. ICANN is an organization that's in the state of California. So if, and that's a fact. So we can't change that. And the Uralo itself is an unincorporated association, as far as I understand. It doesn't have any legal standing per se if it was to start business. But Wolf might need to be able to let us know on this. The how Uralo is organized and so on is not something that I'm totally aware of, but we're not an international organization. International organizations have a range of things that they need to pursue. They need to be registered with the United Nations, etc. And so that makes it a little bit totally different story. And in fact, even Michael, when we were looking at the recent work of the work on the flyer that we had, said, well, we're not an international organization, so we have to change that, which is correct. We are changing that. Let me turn to Michael, and then let's start going through the points that Michael has made on the Articles of Association. I'm still concerned that we seem to have bylaws from 2011 and bylaws from 2007 that seem to have no difference between them, and I'd like to try and find out why there is no difference between them and make sure that as an action item, we have the bylaws from 2007 and the bylaws from 2011 that are the correct bylaws and that actually have a difference between them. Otherwise, we're in an absolute mess here. Michael Medrash, you have the floor.
Thank you. Absolutely agree with you. It is necessary only to clarify what does it mean, and that's all. So let me finish with the text, because the same text, we have this text, okay. I would like to say some words about the next point of our agenda, about the result of my investigation, if it is possible, okay?
Michael, apologies for interrupting you, this is Ishin speaking. I can hardly hear you, the line is very bad. Would you like me to arrange a dialogue for you? I don't know if the rest of the participants can hear him. Olivia, would you like me to arrange
a dialogue? Yeah, it's Olivia speaking. I can hear Michael very well. The only thing, he speaks maybe a little bit loud in the microphone. So, Michael, if you move a little bit further away from the microphone, maybe we'll be better.
I will try. Is it good?
A little bit further away, take the mic further out from your mouth, not closer.
So, I'm going forward, yes?
You're too loud.
Too loud? Okay.
Too loud.
Is it better?
That's a lot better now, I think, yes. But Yeshim, if you can speak a little bit, find out from Yeshim if it's better.
Is it better? Yes? Better. Great.
It's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you very much, Michael.
Fantastic. Okay. Back to you, Michael.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say about conclusion. My conclusion is today's text, what we have, Articles of Association, is so far from real life, just science fiction. And from my point of view, it is necessary to fully rewrite this text, because now it is a text of like by law of a legal entity. We are not legal entity at all. We will not be a legal entity, so it is not necessary to have a bylaw just like a bylaw of a legal entity. So, about the conclusions and details. First of all, I would like to say about Euro Individuals Association. It is not mentioned. I've read scripts and minutes. I understood that 5 years ago the Uralo discussed, is it necessary to mention this Euro Individuals Association in bylaw, and decided not to do it. I'm absolutely disagree with this decision, because you see, this is the only way. Times is going on. the association appeared. And it was established and by law appeared. Circumstances changed. Necessary to return to this question because the only way to inform all interested parties what does it mean Euro Individuals Association inside Urala, that it is a home for individuals, only way is to mention it in bylaw. Nothing else. It is necessary to think about, to rethink, and I suppose it is necessary to do. The second point concerning governing bodies of Urala, I suppose it's absolutely clear that...
Michael?
Yes?
Yeah, Michael, it's Olivia. Sorry for jumping in. Shall we do each one in turn, do each thing in turn, so then we don't need, you know, otherwise if we start opening all of the different points, then we're not going to be able to move forward,
okay.
Because some people will speak about one point, some people about another point, etc. So the first point you've made here is that the Urala Individual Association does not appear anywhere on the Urala bylaws, and you would like that to be, you think it is important that this is mentioned in the Urala bylaws. Now, I don't know why this wasn't mentioned in the Urala bylaws, but I note that Wolf Ludwig has put his hand up, so let's hear from Wolf on this. It's a very valid concern that you're making, by the way. So let's see. Wolf Ludwig.
It's actually a very clear point. In the old version, there was a sentence what did exclude the full participation of individual members, as I said before. And this is a bylaws amendment. We had to change this by saying, okay, from now on, individual members can fully participate, including having a voting right once they are organized. And that's exactly the point. In bylaws, you prescribe a principle, but you do not outline the detail in what way. And it makes no sense to include exemplarily just the individuals' associations as long as you do not include other members. So, in the bylaws it said members are usually at large structures, in general, but you do not name and you do not list them. And therefore, afterwards, there was no need when we created the Urala Individual Association to specify it in the bylaws. This is not according to the logic. In bylaws, you define principles and you do not list member organizations. It makes no sense at all, because you may have desertifications afterwards, and then you always need to change bylaws. Therefore, it makes no sense at all to exclusively mention the individuals' associations, while the majority of at-large structures are not mentioned in the bylaws. That's the simple logic behind it.
I am fully disagreeing with this logic.
Yeah, okay, you can fully disagree, Michael. It's your proper right to disagree with my point of view. But I think you also may have a problem because you have an approach what is more or less corresponding with practicalities or rules in this matter in your country. And we are Western European based, and the origins from Urala were, as I mentioned repeatedly, the first, before we created the Uralo bylaws in 2006, the first draft, there was a long discussion according to what bylaw standards we will create them. And then there was a majority of Germans in this group, and the Germans were suggesting at the time to draft the bylaws according to German bylaw standards. I was against this approach from the very beginning because I knew that German bylaw standards are the most complicated in Western, Western European countries. But there was a majority at the time, and they drafted it according to German bylaw standards, and that's the reason why they became very complex and bulky. I would have done it at the time already according to Swiss standards, because Swiss standards are much more liberal. But okay, finally, after some after a long process and long infights, what took more than a year, they were finally adopted. And when you now say you want to rewrite the whole bylaws, Michael, you can do it. You are free to do whatever you want. But I promise you, you will never find a two-third majority among our members to follow you.
Great.
Okay, I think it's Olivia here. It's Olivia here. I think we're jumping a little bit ahead at the moment. What I'd like to do is to first look at the actual changes, okay, the amendments, and discuss those. I note that that Wolf is saying, you know, that has given us the reasons and so on why it is. I also noticed that Oksana has got her hand up, so I also wanted to give Oksana the floor so that she could also not wait. She's kind enough to put her hand up. So, Oksana, you have the floor, and then we'll go back to you, Michael. And I was going to suggest something. So let's first have Oksana.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you.
I would like to be polite. I am against not by laws of Uralo. Maybe it can work in a really democratic environment. Unfortunately, we have not this democratic environment. Olivia, I really hope for your intervention. I understand that you are engaged in all Ayana transition processes, and it's really important for us. But what does it mean for us? I have to know, I have to report to my members. I have to let them know what my membership in Uralo does member, does, how to say, not member, not, but what does it mean? How I can explain? What added value it brings to us?
Oksana, it's Olivia speaking, and I'm really sorry, but you're asking a question which is completely outside what we're discussing at the moment. At the moment, we're discussing Part D4 with membership of Uralo, organizations domiciled in Europe supporting the purposes of the association which qualify as an ELS. We can discuss your ELS gets from being involved in Uralo in another call if you want to, but I'd like to try and focus on this. Otherwise, we're going to spend the time discussing things which have nothing to do with the purpose of the call.
Sorry,
to be blunt, Oksana, but you...
Why I have to participate in the Uralo?
But this is not the discussion on the call.
By law of the Uralo.
Oksana, this is not the location for discussing why your at-large structure should participate in URALU. We are wasting everybody else's time on the call. If you want, we can take this up separately.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, let's just go down the queue. Let's have Michael Medrish then, please. Michael, you have the floor.
Thank you. Wolf, I would like to mention that time is going on. Time is going on. Individual association, your individual association has a bylaw where it is written financial resources is going from URALU. It is impossible not to have something from us to your individual association. So it is necessary to revise this solution. I fully disagree. And from the other side, it is not necessary to take into account the legislation rules because we are not a legal entity. It may be better to look at the operation principles of other RALOs and to understand better the whole environment, as Sebastian Bachelet did 5 years ago, where the bylaw was discussed 5 years ago. Also the text. So I'm going forward. Governing bodies. Governing bodies which described in today's articles of association are different, not corresponds to the real life. We have the chair of the URALU. Our articles of association doesn't know what does it mean. We have secretary. Also, the role which is not mentioned in Articles of Association. From the other hand, Articles of Association knows treasurer. Articles of Association knows the chair of the board and vice chair of the board, deputy chair. So we are absolutely in different universes. So it is necessary to revise, the bylaw necessary to revise, not the real life. Real life is harder, is much better than paper. So this is the second point. I'm going to next point concerning procedures.
Michael, it's Olivier. Yes. Let me jump into this because you're listing a lot of things
okay. Now.
We're effectively redoing exactly what we did, was it a month ago, I believe, when you're going through the whole list. I thought we were going to go one by one on these points and come up with a proposal for URALU, and that was it. But, Wolf, you have the floor.
Yeah, I would like to respond on this point, be governing bodies, URALU officers, etc. As you have read the bylaws repeatedly and carefully, you surely have realized that in the original bylaws, the board of URALU has a very important function. I think you can agree with me on this point, maybe. And then when we started...
Yes.
Okay. And then when we started URALU, what was in spring 2007, after signing the MOU in March 2007 with ICANN, then by this act, URALU was created or was approved as official URALU by ICANN. Then we had our first elections at the time, and we elected a board in May 2007. We also elected the leadership, what was a co-presidency at the time, which is also not properly stimulated in the bylaw. It was a compromise decided by the majorities of our members. We didn't have a general assembly after the creation, but We had exchanges on the mailing list, and it was a compromise on the mailing list to say, okay, those candidates who got most of the votes in the May 2007 election should become the co-chairs of Uralo and start organizing, now making Uralo functioning. We had a board at the time. Unfortunately, the board over many years never really worked. It was a group of people who were mostly passive. For the operation of Uralo, we could never count on them. Therefore, it was suggested, it was even prescribed in the bylaws. In reality, the Uralo board over many years never really worked. So what would have been, in your opinion, the consequence? I could have said in 2007, bloody hell, we elected a board and the board doesn't care. Okay, let's stop now. This could have been a decision. It's something on a paper. What is not working in reality, as you always say or refer to, so let's stop here. So I tried my best to push things further, and I organized year by year, and these are the important elements of bylaws. By the way, independent from various countries' prescriptions, the most important element for an association is control by its members. And control by its members is to organize a general assembly year by year, either face-to-face or remotely. But then if you do it remotely, you have to approve any decision which is taken in a not face-to-face general assembly. You have to approve them afterwards by the majorities of the members via the list. That's what we did for the first years, and we had face-to-face general assemblies, the first one in June 2008 in Paris, the next one we had in March 2009 in Mexico City, when all members were together and all members at the time always approved, let's continue the most pragmatic way. And that's what we did over the years, and it worked.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I'm a bit concerned now. We're running forward, but it's good to have some of the background of what you've said here. I still am at the first point that Michael has mentioned, and that was the Euro Individuals Association, established in 2012 and still not institutionalized in the Uralo bylaw. As an observer, I can see that looking at the current Uralo bylaws, when it mentions membership, it says members of the association shall consist of the following, and it mentions here 4.1.1, organizations domiciled in Europe supporting the purposes of the association which qualify as an ELS. The question that we have to ask our membership is whether they want to instill the Uralo Individual Users Association as being named there, because it is a special at-large structure that we have there. It's not just a standard at-large structure.
Olivier, it was a deal. It was a deal before the amendments.
That it would need to be a standard at-large structure, then.
Yes, they have to become. The only difference is that they are not based in a particular European country. Like all other ALSs, they are always based in a particular country. And the only difference is that the home ALS for the individuals, because the individuals are residents in various European countries. This was the only exception or difference. We said, okay, this must not be based in a particular country. This can be European-wide, but otherwise it has to become an association like any other ordinary at large structure. And that's the way their bylaws were drafted according to this logic. And afterwards, after they have approved their bylaws, they applied in a regular procedure like any other ALS. They sent an application to at large staff. It was Roberto who did it at the time, and there was a due diligence procedure, and afterwards they were certified by ALEC like any other ordinary ALS. And therefore, there is no reason why we should treat the Uralo Individuals Association in another way, in a privileged way, or in a special way, like we normally do with our, with the majority of our ALSs. That's the point.
And so, Rolf, it's Olivia speaking, and I'd like to, you know, be absolutely clear on this then. Is there a reason why the Uralo Individual Users Association is just a standard ALS?
Because it was decided, this was a condition for the bylaws amendments in 2011. The majority of our, as I said before, in the original version of the bylaws, there was no prescription for this, how to deal with individual members. Okay, they were allowed to participate whenever they wanted, but at a general assembly, they could speak, they could raise their voice, but they had no voting right. So there were people, individuals, who said, we feel disadvantaged or discriminated compared to other ALS reps. We are sometimes more active than certain ALSs of Uralo, and when it comes to the points for a decision at a general assembly, we cannot even vote. And then there became a sensitivity that this is unfair, and then we said, okay, let's discuss about modalities, how we can improve your standing, but then we have to amend the bylaws in one way or other. And then there were reservations again from existing members saying, okay, we are ready to discuss modalities to better include them, but we do not want to give them any sort of special rights. And then we found a compromise for this scenario or option B by saying, okay, then the individuals have to organize themselves among themselves. They have to create their own association with a bylaw. And then once they have organized themselves and have created their association, then they have to go through the regular certification procedure at large, at ALEC, like any other ordinary member has to do. So there was no other exceptions made for them. And following this logic, how this has been made and how this was decided in the years 2010 and 11, there is no reason why retrospectively giving the individual users ALS another status or another standard like any other ordinary ALS.
Okay, thanks, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. In the interest of time, then, I want to ask you then the second question, which is that in the Uralo Individual Association, it says that financial resources are not needed for this ALS because it can count on Uralo, on the capacities of Uralo for its secretariat. Now, if the Euro Individual Association is saying this, then it means that there doesn't it mean there needs to be a corresponding point in the Uralo rules of procedure that this Uralo Individual Association exists?
To avoid misinterpretations or misunderstanding, this does of course not mean any financial means, because Uralo itself does not have any budget. For anything we want to do, we have to submit a financial request at the beginning for the year. When we want to organize a face-to-face general assembly, etc., we have to come back to ALEC and we have to fill in a budget request. And once a budget request is approved, at large staff will get the money for organizing a face-to-face general assembly. When a budget request by Uralo is not approved, we can forget about it. We never ever had, since we exist, an own budget or any financial means we could spend or dedicate by ourselves. And this is known knowledge, that there are no financial means at Uralo. And therefore, whatever it says in the bylaws of the individuals, the resources was meant in the sense, okay, they can count on support by Uralo, what is by the leadership, and they can count on a certain support by at large staff. That's all what this sentence is meaning.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. But neither of these are mentioned in the bylaws.
Huh?
Neither of these are mentioned in the bylaws. The ALS
bylaws.
In the bylaws of Uralo. In the bylaws of Uralo. The European Internet Association is just a standard ALS like any other ALS. Staff are not there to help it out. The secretariat is not held there to help it out. Strictly speaking, there is nothing that differentiates the Uralo Individual Users Association from an Internet Society chapter, let's say. I mean, am I correct in this?
Practically, there is no difference, no.
Yeah, so this is, okay, thanks. So this is what I wanted to hone in on. So what we basically need to decide on and to propose to Uralo is if there should be one sentence that differentiates the Uralo Individual Users Association from the other ALSs. That's the only question we have to ask ourselves for this specific thing. The rest of
and
it,
I think there is no need
Uralo
for
vote
it.
On whichever they want. You might think there's no need for it, but Michael thinks there is a need for it. So we need to then have a decision on whether there should be one or not.
Olivier, we are coming back to this hard decision we had during 2010 and 11. This was a month-long process to come to an agreement under what modalities we may allow individual members a voting right. And therefore, therefore it was said the only thing we have to change, we have to modify in the bylaws, is to say, yes, under one option, and this is the option B, what I described, when they once become ordinary at large structures, then they will have a voting right. That's the only thing you you write in the bylaws the fact that from now on individual members have a voting right like any others, but you do not specify how this is done in detail.
Well, I didn't say that I was going to talk about the voting rights. I said the question was whether that Euro individual association had a special position or not. The reason why I'm saying this is that, well, times have changed since 2011, and the point that I wanted to make is that since that time, there has been an at-large review. There is a request from the ALAC to support individual users in other ways than through at-large structures as well. There is a new at-large review that is starting up now. If Urallo does not look at this seriously, things will be imposed on Urallo, and it might well be that the Urallo Individual Users Associations get thrown out and something else replaces it. That's the price we might have to pay, and this is why I'm insistent that we basically look at something that is simple to propose to our members and saying we either keep it as it is, as we have at the moment, or we add one more line which will say what the Urallo Internet Users Association is to differentiate it from the other ALSs. If the Urallo members decide to vote against adding this, sorry? It's a binary point. It's a yes or no. If the Urallo members say, no, we don't want that additional line, then that additional line will not go in. That will be it.
Olivier, as we know, there are so far two Rallos who have some sort of regulation on how to deal with individual members. One is Naralo.
Mm-hmm.
Naralo has followed a different approach than Urallo. But we discussed with Naralo at the time. They were included in our discussions, and with support from at large staff, we said, okay, there may be another option. The way we did it, by the creation of an ordinary ALS, was the only way to do it acceptable for a majority of our members. Otherwise, we would have never gotten two-thirds or more than two-thirds of our members in 2011 to modify, to amend our bylaws. It was an option discussed and decided at the time, and the point was not to make a difference.
Okay, let me go then to Michael and then to Jean-Jacques Subrenin. Welcome, Jean-Jacques. So first, Michael Medrish.
I would like to say, Wolf, I've read everything, all scripts and all minutes concerning the discussion, how to give individual members voting rights, rights to take part in the process. And it was decided not to go to the direction of North America Rallo, but to make some special organization, Euro Individual Association, and to ask all individuals to go to this association as a home for all individuals. ISOC exists, but, okay, new ILS appeared, special ILS for individuals. What you are saying now, it's ordinary ILS without any exemptions. It's okay. So we decided to, you would like to this to finish with individual members and to say to them, forget about your understanding that it is possible to take part in a protest, forget about it, and that's all. I suppose it's impossible now. Impossible, really impossible, because it is announced on some page of ICANN that all individual users have a possibility to take part in the process via this mechanism. This is a special mechanism. If it is not so, if it is not a special mechanism, okay, we are to forget about it. I agree with Olivier. Yes or no? Absolutely. My assumption, yes, because it was decided that it is a special mechanism. If no, okay, let we forget about it and say our colleagues from Euro Individual Association to Gaetano and all of 14 people there, forget about this, you are ordinary ILS and that's all. Okay, it is possible,
Yeah. But
I suppose it's impossible now.
Okay, let's just stop you here, Michael. So thanks for this. Now, we have Jean-Jacques Subrenard, who is the chair of the Uralo Individual Associations, who's with us. So that would be helpful to have his point of view on this. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. I'm sorry I'm a couple of minutes late. I believe I arrive in this discussion just in time to avoid... Is it the collective suicide of the association of which I'm the chair? I should have been warned about this perhaps a bit more than I am. That's my fault. But is there a proposal to shut down the association? Or is it something about the status which is not clear and therefore simply requires more clarity? Olivier, could you give me some guidance on that? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier Crépin-Blanc speaking. So the first thing, actually, Jean-Jacques, you're unfortunately an hour late, so we're just about to close off on the discussion that we have. We're already 8 minutes beyond the end of this call. But the discussion was to do, because we're looking through the bylaws, the discussion was to do with the membership of Uralo. Michael Medrash, who has reviewed this, is basically saying that when you look at the bylaws of Uralo, it says the members of the association shall consist of the following, and it only shows one class of members, which is the at-large structures, basically organizations domiciled in Europe supporting the purposes of the association which qualify as an ALS. His belief is that there needs to be another line which basically points to the Uralo Individual Association as a special case. Wolf Lübeck, who was there when the other bylaws were written and so on, is saying that at the time when the discussion towards the creation of the Uralo Individual Association was concerned, there was opposition to that having a special status as an ALS. There was no amendment made to that line as to what the membership is. The only thing that was amended, what was taken out, was a clause which was basically preventing individuals from taking part into Uralo processes. But that's outside the scope of the current discussion. The question now comes as to whether there should be a special line. Does the Uralo Individual Users Association have a special position in Uralo or not? And that's the discussion that we're having. We're not looking at the collective suicide or anything like that. Back to you, Jean-Jacques. And we will have to end this call in about the next 5 minutes because I'm a little concerned about the time here. Jean-Jacques Subrenard.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. I wish to apologize to all those present because on the notice sent out by Secretariat, it said UTC 1800 or Central European Standard Time 2000. That's why I joined it at 2000. But I could have perhaps checked otherwise. My fault. So I understand that you have summarized, Olivier, the situation very well. Thank you so much. So my question is now, can we and with whom shall our association get in touch in order to draft that additional line which would be added to, I believe, the Uralo bylaws? And so can you direct me to the person who would do that with us?
So Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier speaking and jumping into this. So we're not even at the position of actually writing an additional line or not. What I suggest is that an additional line gets drafted and then we provide the decision to our Uralo members on whether they want that in or want that out. This is just it's the simple case of saying a yes or no answer. No actual full discussion or whatever around it because we're wasting time otherwise. And I'm well aware from having seen Wolf lose
at least a few handful of hair when he was running the discussions a few years ago, that we're not going to go into circular arguments and things like that. And that's why maybe the best way forward is to propose that one-liner that would go into the memberships of the association, and that will be what this working group proposes later on when it has all of the different amendments that it wishes to make. And you know, a vote is just a one-time occurrence, and that's it.
Yes, this is...
And I totally realize that... And I totally realize, by the way, that by adding one line, it does put the Uralo Individual Association on a special position. By not having it, then it keeps Uralo Individual Association on a non-special position, although there is something special about it in that it doesn't need to be geographically restricted to one country. So there is also something that we need to fix here. One country.
Yes, Olivier, when you said one country, do you really mean a country or one region such as Europe?
I mean one country. I said one country twice now. I mean one country. Because the thing with the Uralo Internet, because otherwise, you see, in Latin America, for example, there are, or La Uralo region, there are many instances of the same organization in different countries. So what you could do would be to have a Uralo Individual Users Association in every country in Europe, and that's definitely not what we want.
No.
So right. There is one for all of Europe. That's it.
Yes, Olivier, if you allow me, it may take a couple of minutes, but I think this is important at this stage of the discussion. As chair of this Individual Association, Users Association, I wish to point out that when the association was formed, and especially when it was officially announced at the last annual General Assembly of Uralo in Dublin, Roberto first and then I, as the incoming president or chairman, talked about it. And after that, there were quite a few emails sent around. So my question is, wouldn't it have been perhaps more courteous and certainly more efficient if those who have a problem with this had pointed it out at that time rather than now?
So, Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier speaking. I'm not sure what do you mean by the problem. What problem? The problem of having that special bylaw in the bylaws? Or special status for Uralo
yes.
Individual Association?
Well, I see your point that the result of it is perhaps a special status, but my point was more fundamental. It is the very existence of this association, which if it had any reason to be criticized, it should have been done at the the General Assembly in Dublin or shortly thereafter. So if it takes a change in the bylaws, I'm all for it, of course, and I would like to contribute to that.
Yeah, thank you for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking, and I realize we are 15 minutes past the official end of this call. The discussion predates all of this. We're talking about the 2011 amendments when the provision for an individual users association was brought forward. So I think we need to continue this discussion on a future call next week. The discussion, there was a previous debate and so on about this way before Dublin, and we're not coming into this, by the way, because we're looking at what happened in Dublin. We're working into this as being revision of all of the Uralo bylaws, and that's the first point that Michael Medrish has pointed out to. So what I would suggest is we take this discussion again to our next call next week, and the way that we can only do this, I guess, is to take each one of the points that Michael has made, have a discussion on them, try and be maybe a little bit more short in our interventions, and I'll try me as well, myself, to be a bit shorter with my interventions, and look at what can be proposed as a yes or no answer. This is the working group that does the work into looking at what should be done or what can be done, and the Uralo will be the people that will decide. We are not going to bring this discussion openly to the Uralo, and for Uralo to start going around in circles and you know, basically use our time not in a productive way. So the question here is, if we start cutting things into bite-sized chunks, we will be able to move forward slowly, one step at a time. And in some cases, it might be a no. In some cases, it might be a yes. But let's, you know, do it basically step by step. And that's the first one. Jean-Jacques, you have your hand up, and then I'm going to have to close the call. I'm sorry to everyone, but it's taking a bit more time than I thought. Jean-Jacques Subrenat.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. I just wrote it in the chat. Olivier, in that case, I would request, in fact, request strongly that I or Roberto be a member of this working group. I was not aware that it was operational, and of course, I think it would be only fair that one of us would be part of it.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Let's have an action item. Do you want to be on this? We can certainly add you to the mailing list, or we can have both of you on the mailing list if you want.
Right. So,
and now let's
suggest that I, as the president, and Roberto, because of historic, he is the secretary of the association, and historically, he is the most involved in all this.
Okay. Thanks for this, Wolf Ludwig. You have the floor.
Well, I'm just typing it in. It was just to mention for us, at the moment we are discussing a lot about history, and if you do not understand as a historical context, you can easily draw the wrong conclusion. Therefore, I think for the next call, if we come back to the individuals associations issue again, then I think it would be extremely helpful to have Roberto at the call. Because basically after the decision, the amendment was made in 2011, it took very long time until the individuals organized themselves, etc., and without the support of Roberto, who was the driving force behind, the whole thing would never have happened. So he is the one who can, besides me, explain, help to, explain context and help to understand certain particularities. And I think it would be useful for the debate.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf.
Your presence, Jean-Jacques, of course, is also welcome.
Okay, thanks very much, Wolf. So let me speaking. Right, so we've got Jean-Jacques has been added to the mailing list as well, and I think what we can do, if you're all okay with this, we can then go on each point that Michael will have made. And at that point, we will be able to know if I can find my my place here. Okay, so the first point was what he mentioned here was the Euro Individuals Association. Next week, we will be discussing this specifically. If we make progress, then we will move into the governing bodies. Uralo officers and their functions do not correspond to the real life. Michael, if I could ask you in the meantime to share on the mailing list what type of sentence you would suggest for adding to the Uralo bylaw regarding the Euro Individuals Association, then both Jean-Jacques and Roberto and everyone else, of course, can see that on our mailing list, and we can then think of a sentence that can be proposed. The whole point being, we don't want to bring this whole big discussion in Uralo as a whole. Otherwise, as Wolf said, it might take months, it might even take years, and it will certainly waste your time and it will waste my time. And that's, I don't think we have enough time to waste on this. But if we have a simple yes or no and add it or not add it, I think that our members will be more likely at that point to understand the difference between the two. And if a majority of Uralo ELSs are saying no, we don't want to afford a special case to the Uralo Individual Association, then so be it. If, on the other hand, they decide as a majority that they want to, then so be it too. All I want is for us to go outside of this deadlock and go one way or another. And that's basically it. Michael, I'll give you the floor. That's your closing words, and then we will have to close this call. Michael Medrish.
Thank you. I suppose it's necessary to discuss very carefully. Okay, it's a great idea. But I would like to say about the individual association. My understanding is it is necessary to mention that it exists an ILS which is for individual members, for individuals from Europe, from the whole Europe. To mention this in a bylaw, in operating principles, no matter what is the name of the document. Maybe without a certain name, Euro Individuals Association. Maybe with. It is necessary to discuss. But to mention at least that for individual members exists special ILS. Because it was a great discussion during 3 years or 4 years. I've read all scripts. It was a great discussion. And it is necessary to stamp a stop, full stop here, and to announce for all Europe individuals that they have a possibility to take part in discussions, in making something in ICANN at large structure. So that's all. I think in such way. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for this, Michael. Thanks for these closing words. And now, Jean-Jacques, you see what discussion we had today. And I hope that Roberto will be able to listen to the call or at least listen to the end part, which I think we've started to make progress and we're starting to understand how we can start moving. And next week, so let's have a doodle again for next week. We will start directly into this point about Uralo Individual Users Association. We will draft a sentence, and then we can, if we finish that, we can move to the next part, which is the different officers. And with this, I'd like to thank you all and to adjourn the call. So thanks and goodbye.
Thanks and goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
So they will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.